right, so we're going into this. So you guys have been going through the book study. Every week we pick a book of the Bible. We've been doing it consecutively. So we've been doing it in sequence as it's laid out in the Bible. So last week Nick did 1 Kings as he was going through it. This week I'm doing 2 Kings. So Nick did 1 Kings and then he did the application on Wednesday. We're going to follow that same process for this week as well. So we're going to get into 2 Kings inside of here. There's so much to digest here. You know, there's so much that I was reading through it. I was studying it out. I don't have enough time to go through here. So we're going to kind of follow the format that we have here on the book here. And of course, I like how we have everything laid out. And I'm going to ask some questions. I want you guys to be participants. This is part of the learning process. I want you guys, I'm going to ask questions. If you get it wrong, you get it wrong. That's okay. You know, you're not being graded on this. You want us here?
Sorry.
You're going to need this. There's 2 pages of that. All right, so we're going to continue. I always like to start out, what's going on? You know, you ask your questions about what's going on in 2 Kings. So as you go through and look at this, has anyone read 2 Kings as in preparation? Have you, Elena? You raised your hand. Yeah, you did. You moved it from here to here. That's a raised hand. Okay. So here's the thing. Have you guys read the Bible? Have you read 2 Kings? Have you done that? Okay. That's fine. That's a start. So, you know, as we go through it. So one of the things that we're looking at in 2 Kings is the continuation of 1 Kings. So they split it out and then they're, as we go through it. One thing to be aware of, again, we want to look at this, is 2 Kings. When was it written and when did it happen? One thing that you're going to understand with your Bible is things don't get written down and documented at this time. All right? So like today, we have technology. We have phones. We have, you know, we can capture everything. We can document it, take pictures. We can capture what's going on at this time. In ancient times, they didn't do that. They had the oral tradition. We've talked a little bit about that in the past, where they passed it down verbally from generation to generation. And at one point, they realized, hey, we need to document this. So the scribes would do this. So 2 Kings, when it was written, this is an approximation. It's not concrete, so we're not going to etch it in stone. But generally, about this time, it was written in 570 BC. So it was happening, and a lot of things happening in that world. Just kind of understand that. You guys understand what BC is, right? Before Christ. And that's just the way the church is established at. God's timeline and the world's timeline are two different things. And so God started from the beginning when he created the earth in Genesis. That's when time began for man. And so that should be zero and it should get going progressively. That's how the Bible does timelines. The world, and I say this, and specifically the Catholic Church started the timeline. That's when they made the designator before Christ in AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord at the zero mark. Those don't line up directly on top of each other. So that's why we say it's an approximation. But what does line up is what's going on in the world with the Bible. Through the times of 2 Kings, we see the rise of the Assyrians. We go through here and you study out 2 Kings and you read through it, you're going to see a lot of things happening, and God's judgment is the Assyrians taking capture of the tribe of Israel. And eventually, the Babylonians, we've talked about Babylon, the Babylonians will take capture of both the tribe of Judah and Israel, and they have to go through it. And it's God's judgment upon those nations. So kind of understand what's going on. And you, if you know world history, and some of you guys are getting into it in school, you know, that's when we talk about the Assyrians were an ancient civilization. We talked about the Egyptians. We talked about Pharaoh and the pyramids. That was a period in time that associates with the Bible as well. And that gives us a time frame where everything lies up in here. So we're establishing relationships as we go through and look at this Bible. So that gives us there. Various prophets have wrote this. That's one thing that we've noticed. There's not one author of the Bible. It is a collaboration. It is many people coming together in the Word of God, for the Word of God, to preserve His Word. So we have that going on with this. So we have 25 chapters, and they're broken down here. So we see a lot of different things here as we look at this. So in your notes, and this is, hey, the book of 2 Kings, written one or more prophets, Nathan the prophet, Iddo the seer, Shemaiah the prophet, Gad the seer, Jeremiah, and it covers a span. That's something to be aware of. We're looking at the lineage of the kings of Israel and Judah, and so that spans 310 years. So there's a lot of history there going on with this. You know, one of the things that we talk about is we see in Kings, why do we study the Old Testament? Anyone have a reason why we study the Old Testament? Guys, come on. A lot of you guys have been churched. Why do we study the Old Testament, Bryson? You guys don't volunteer, I'll volunteer you. You don't know? Older ones. Audrey, Hallie, why do we study the Old Testament? Speak loudly.
It's important to know history.
It's important to know history. Close. Brendan. It does lead up to Christ. That's what we're seeing here. We see pictures of Christ. We also see what God is doing in correcting us. So as a parent, my job is to equip my daughters for the world. They have to face the world as a parent. My job's not to be their best friend. My job is to set them on a path so they can be godly children for the Lord. And so that's one of the things that God is trying to do with the nation of Israel, is they're in disobedience. What happens when you guys disobey your parents? Anyone, raise your hand. What happens when you're in disobedience with your dad? What happens? You get your what taken away? You take your phone taken away? What happens when you get in trouble with your dad, mom and dad? Okay, that's a sin issue. We'll have to talk about that later. Audrey, what happens when you get in trouble with your parents?
I get smacked on the side.
You get smacked on the side of the head. Wow, this is on the recorder. So, okay, kidding.
They named it after me, the Nick Slap.
The Nick Slap.
You know, seriously, cut that out.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So there is a time. There's different types of punishments inside there. So God is having a tough time. They're not listening. And so that becomes a problem. You know, they get tone deaf. And, you know, God is gracious. And God is fulfilling His promise with the nation of Israel and in the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. There's a difference right there. But He wants them to be on the right path. He wants to set them up for success. He wants to equip them. But if they don't listen, then how do we do that? How do you get the attention? And that's what happens when you do something that you're in disobedience. You have to be corrected on that. And some of that takes different forms. Thankfully, you know, some of the things that we do wrong and we call sin, in Old Testament times, it could be the death penalty. Think about that. It could be dismembering yourself. This is serious. Like, if you look at a person of the opposite sex with lustful eye, with lust in your eyes, you could lose your eye for it. Or eyes. You can be around the rest of your life blind because of that lust. I'm saying that it's right there. If you steal, you could lose your hand. If you get caught in other relationships, you do something blasphemy, stoning. And that's when everyone picks up stones and throws stones at you and keep on throwing stones until you die. That's a judgment. So there is punishment right there. God's punishment in certain situations is that extreme. And other times, there's love and grace behind it, which is what your parents do when they correct your actions. It's done with love, and it's to teach you a moment. But if you don't listen and you do it again and again, the punishment becomes more and more severe. Understand that. And we see that going through the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament. But the nice thing is we also see God's grace in action. We often associate grace with Jesus Christ, and that's true. But we also see God's grace in a difficult situation with the nation of Israel, and specifically the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. So again, that's why we want to look at this. We want to see Christ in action in the Old Testament. We see pictures of Christ. We see things that come into the Bible. So that's why we build it up. And that's why we study it out. That's why Pastor Brian's been going through Exodus. He sees the history right there. He sees God in movement. God is doing something with the nation of Israel that does carry and resonate with us. Even though it's not necessarily for us, it does carry. It has application with it. So we see that right there. I also want to clarify, as we talk about this, we talked about, I just mentioned it, the nation of Israel, and I also talked about the kingdoms of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. So the nation of Israel encompasses all the Jewish people of the world. So when I say nation of Israel, it is everything. It's every Jew. Now, when I talk about the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, this is where we start having some division. So if you look at your chart right here, you have this one right here. It's kind of laid out. We have the two kingdoms. And the green is the kingdom of Judah. And then we have over here, we have the kingdom of Israel. And so we have these split up right here. Now, if you notice, again, we talk about this. We got to understand our history. I've mentioned it in the past when I've taught, you need three things to know where you're at in the world. You got to have 3 points. And then you got to have a fourth variable in there, and that's called time. You got to know where you began. You got to know where you're going. And you got to know where you're at. That triangulates everything here. That's why we're studying the Bible. And the time factor tells us where we're at in relation to everything else. That's how GPS works. So if you use your maps, the tools on your phones, that's how GPS works. And it's the same thing. They borrowed it from the Bible. It's called triangulation. So that's going right here. And so we want to start with this. What set us on to the kingdoms? To begin with, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. It goes back to 1 Samuel. They wanted a king. Right. And because they wanted a king, there became a power struggle. This is high level, guys. Just kind of think of it like this. It's a high level. The nation of Israel, we want a king. We no longer want judges. We want a king. We want a single source of information, not a judge over each tribe or judges in each tribe of the nation of Israel. And so they go in there. And then the first thing that happens, civil war. We have a civil war. Let's call it what it is. It's one side against another, and they're brothers, they're family, and they're fighting over who's doing this. So who are the main protagonists in the book of Samuel? Two guys. Anyone? Come on, you guys know this. Who are the two guys that are battling out in 1 and 2 Samuel? David's one. What's the other guy?
Goliath.
Wrong.
Okay.
Who? David battled Goliath, but that wasn't who. That wasn't the whole story of 1 and 2 Samuel.
Saul.
Saul. Remember, Saul was like, I think I'm the guy. But Saul's heart wasn't right. Saul did it for the wrong reasons. And that's why it became a battle. David had a heart for the Lord. You know, if you think about it, David had faith. because David had faith, he was able to face an 8-foot giant and took him out with a sling. Do you think that? So, do you think you could take out an 8-foot person? You can with God. That's what it is. It was one of those battles. And that's where God, that's where David reigned. That's where David shined the most, is he trusted in the Lord. He was able to face lions and bears and giants. Now, was he perfect? No. And so we had, there's some other issues, but it was a battle. And so we have that. So we have Saul. Saul was the first king, but he did things really bad. So David became king, but we also know David wasn't perfect. David is a picture of Christ as a leader, but he is not perfect. He's not perfect like Jesus Christ. So we have David, and he did some things that are wrong. And then we move on down. So David had lots of kids. And so there's a family thing going on all of a sudden. Family that large that David had, he had all these sons, and they all wanted a position. They wanted to be the next king, but they didn't have a heart for the Lord. And so we get Solomon. And Solomon, he saw peace. He got blessings that David was never going to get because of David's sin. And so Solomon wasn't perfect either. So we kind of look at the kings right here. That was the nation of Israel. That was one king and one kingdom. And then after Solomon, it becomes another family feud. And I say civil war. This is where it starts going on again. Another civil war. And it's against brothers fighting over who's this. And, you know, they got people over here yakking in their ears. Oh, yeah, you hear this. They're saying this about you. And on this side, someone over here is chewing the ear in someone else. So we have this, we have the fuel inside of here. And so the family splits apart. The family splits apart. And that's when we start getting it. And it's like, hey, we're going to follow this side of the family, and we're going to follow this side of the family. And that's where we start getting the kingdoms. That's where we get the kingdom of Israel, and it's where we get the kingdom of Judah. So we have that. And you see right there, there's a lot of history right there. My question to you is, where does the seed of Christ come from? Which line? Guys. What? Right, but remember, it splits after Solomon. So it splits into Judah, and it splits into Israel. Which line is the Christ bloodline that we see? What is it? Judah. The tribe of Judah. And if you want the proof of this, now these are the kings, but they also have the history, and that's why we're looking at this. So when we look at Chronicles, and you start seeing the family tree of this person begat this person, this begat this person, it gives you the history of where they're coming from. We see that. We see that actually in Matthew 1, when we talk about Jesus Christ, and we see the bloodline of Joseph in Matthew 1. Over in Luke 3, we see the bloodline of Mary. And you know what? They both come from the line of Judah right here. So kind of keep that in mind right there. So there were some things. Also on the chart, that's really cool to look at, is on the gray bars right here, we start seeing the other prophets on the sidebar about when the kings were looking at this. This is how it ties into the Bible together. It's very important that you guys look at that and understand, oh, this is when this prophet wrote this book, when this king was running right here. And it deals with some different things as we go through with this. So I just love this chart. It's a lot of good information. So like, for instance, if you look down the kingdom of Judah on the green side, you see that we get, you know, some different prophets that write their books and exist during that time. So about the time when Uzziah comes through, we also get the prophet Isaiah, and then we get Micah, and we get Nahum, and then eventually we get Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. And so we start getting the lineages. While this is going on, though, we still have some things here. God's not done with the nation of Israel either. Because remember, when God gave them the promise in the Abrahamic covenant, when he was going to make them a great nation in Genesis 12, he still hasn't forgotten them. Even though they're in disobedience and they're always not paying attention and doing things, they still have that promise, and God's not done with them. So we look over there with the nation of Israel. You see, when we get Joahaz and Jehoash and Jeroboam, we start getting some prophets during this time. And so we get Obadiah, Joel, Jonah, Hosea, Amos. We start getting the prophets there. So they're still being ministered to, but they're grounded. They're being punished. God's not done with them, but he's still working on their hearts to understand, hey, it's right here, guys. It's yours for if you want to. But if you're not going to listen to me, the Assyrians are going to run you into the ground. You're going to become slaves. You're going to be captured. And so that's important to understand that. When you're in sin, there's consequences. And so we want to be aware of this. And that's why we look at the Old Testament, is so we can see a picture of this. Oh, if I disobey, this can happen. Well, thankfully we have Jesus Christ as our advocate, and we're not going to have to worry about this. We do get grace, and we have an avenue of repentance, and it's through Jesus Christ. So just kind of give you a high level overflow or overview of what this is for, and look at it. This of everything right here helps tie your Bible together. And that's why we're doing this. This is why we're going through 2 Kings, is we know, so hey, this does have a relationship with this. All right, so kind of continue on with that. So, you know, right here, a couple key things going right here. So as you go through, actually, I got the wrong notes there. Or actually, maybe. So there's several things happening inside of here. So we get the chronological order of kings inside of here, and we start seeing, you know, what each individual king did. As we go through here, we also get the transition. There's a key thing that I want you guys to pick up on from 1 Kings into 2 Kings. You guys have heard of Elijah the prophet, right? He was in 1 Kings at the end and going through this. And we actually see him at the beginning of 2 Kings as well in the first chapter or two. And what's happening here is something that happens in this church, and this is why we focus on this, is we see discipleship in action. We know that Elijah does this. Elijah gets carried away, or not carried away, gets carried to the Lord. And then it hands over to the next person. In football, you know, it's football season right now, and it's always something you see on the NFL. Someone gets hurt, or someone gets taken out. Like, for instance, the Chiefs right now, we're down 3 good players right now. You know what? It's the next man up. But the only way you can have the next man up is through discipleship. That's why we focus on discipleship at this church. There's going to be a time when it's going to be your turn, Hallie, to come up and teach. Or Bryson. Or over there. Yeah, don't shake your head. If you're going to reject the Lord is going to reject you, or not going to reject you, but he's going to hold you in this state of confusion, and he's going to go through, and he's going to put sin there, and he's going to separate you from it. So if you shake your head at that, don't. Because the Lord will do something about it. So you do have to be aware that it's the next person up. You don't say you're not going to do it. Jonah said the same thing. He spent 3 days in a well. And even then, he still didn't finish his race correctly. Even after he did humble himself, he still struggled in the end. Because he said he didn't want to do it. Don't say no to God. I will say this right now. Bending your knee to the Lord is going to be the best thing that you can ever do. It is a challenge, though, when you say no to the Lord, and the Lord's saying, no, you're going to do this. That's where it becomes a challenge in life. You guys are going to experience that. So be aware. Don't shake your head no that, no, I'm not going to teach, or I'm not going to disciple. Well, God will take care of that. And in many ways, He'll take care of it in a better way than you didn't realize. So, going through that, key chapters, the kingdom of Israel is taken captive by Assyria. We talked about that, the kingdom of Israel, because there is a challenge. They don't want to go through there. In fact, you go through and start reading about the kings of Israel and Judah, you're going to start seeing some things happen here. In fact, there's two phrases inside of it. Let me go through and find a good example just to kind of start with. All right, so here's one phrase in 2 Kings 14. And I'll just kind of read it. I didn't have to get your Bible here. But you can go right here. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. All right, so we established that we have Joash, son of Joash, you know, the son of Joash. So we have some context where he's at. He's king of Judah. Remember where that line is for Christ. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. So he was 25 years old, and he reigned for 29 years. So what's 25 plus 29? 54. 25 plus 29. So it's 54. So 54 years old. And he also can tell...
I went to hair school. I'm not very good at math. Sorry.
It happens. I say the same thing about Platte City. And then we see more establishment as we look at this. And his mother's name was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem. So we understand that, hey, we have Joash. He was 25 years old. He's from the, you know, he's the king of Judah. So he's following the tribe or the kingdom of Judah. So we have a bloodline right here. We start associating with everything. His mother, and she's of Jerusalem. Right there. A lot of things happen in Jerusalem around the Bible. It's a key city. Right there. It's probably the most important city in the Bible. And he did that was, and this is the phrase that I love. In verse 3. And something you have to understand. This is the one thing you want to hear. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That's very important. And it goes through and it goes through and starts going through and it breaks it down. But when you go through and look at another one here, let me see if I can find another one. So we'll start in 2 Kings chapter 17. And then we have another, we have the opposite. So in 2 Kings 17, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Eli, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. So this is where we start seeing the split. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. So we have the what was right in the sight of the Lord, and then we have which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Which side of the coin do you want to belong to?
God's side.
You want to be on the good side. You want to lay in heads up every time. That's what I'm saying. But if you want to fall on the other side of that is there's evil right there. And you can look at the kings, each one of them, there's a systematic failure as we watch this and you read it. That's another thing you need to understand is the failures. Because out of failures become successes. And that's why we study that out as well. We want to be able to study and see that. So, you know, we have the kingdom of Judah was eventually taken care. The kingdom of Judah was eventually captured by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and we see that one out in that story specifically in the book of Daniel. And we draw a lot from the prophet Daniel in that time. As we continue there, one thing to kind of look through, Christ is, you know, present in 2 Kings. Christ is in the beginning of the Bible. Christ is throughout. We just have to identify the pictures of Christ. So there, I saw many different types in here. It says 21 types in the Bible. You know, we do see opportunity. God was merciful. He didn't have to descend them instantly to Assyria. It was a gradual process before they were conquered, if you look at the timeline. Eventually, when the kingdom of Judah falls, it takes a while for it to get there through it. So there's a lot of mercy there. He's like, God's giving you every opportunity. There's compassion. He didn't destroy them. If you look at that, did he destroy some kings and some evil players? Absolutely. He's protecting right there. Just like, you know, a farmer or a rancher will protect his livestock from, you know, coyotes or mountain lions or whatnot, God is protecting his as well. We see gentleness. Again, he doesn't have to go through and do this. But he does. He does it subtly. And then healing. There's an avenue for this. So it wasn't always just bad things. There was a chance for an opportunity to heal. But again, as you go through that, as you're healing, if you keep on picking at the scab, it's going to open back up again. And that does happen. You know, when we pick at the scab of sin, it comes back. All right there. All right. And another breakdown as we kind of look through this. So go through it. Time for some quizzes here. When we talk about the ministry here, the first eight chapters of 2 Kings, what do we see in that? Who is the ministry leader of that? Okay. Elisha. Because that's the handoff. Remember, we talked about discipleship. Elijah is handing off to Elisha. One of the great things that you go through and study out in the book of Elisha, he gets double the blessings. Right there. Double portion. He gets double. So, right there. There's a handout with his miracles. Right there. You know, the biggest one that I saw was the grace of God with Elisha. So God wasn't done with it. So here's a good one, right here, bonus candy bar question. You gotta get your Bible. So Elijah the Tishbite was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. What other Old Testament man did not die but was taken up by God? You had your hand up first, though. Yeah. No. Enoch in the Bible. Enoch walked with the Lord and he was taken up in Genesis. I think it's Genesis 4. So Elijah. So continue that. And then the next part, the fall of Israel. So that's chapters 9 and 17. We read in chapter 17, we saw that Ahaz, king of Judah, and his son, began Hosea the son, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did evil, which is inside of the Lord. So we start seeing the fall of Israel in the section right there in chapters 9 through 17. And then as we continue that, chapters 18 through 25, we start to see the fall of the nation or the kingdom of Judah. So in 18 through 25, we see right there. All right, here we go. So here's another candy bar question. This one's a 50-50 shot. So it's a true false question. True false question. Hang on. You got a 50-50 shot. The king, King Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, who defeated the kingdom of Israel and took them captive to Assyria, is a Gentile. Isabel. True. Hey, talked about this earlier. We need to talk about substituting words and what it's a picture of. All right. So, you know, we start seeing in chapters 18 through 25 the fall of Judah. However, it takes a little bit longer than it did with well, it took about 150 years each. But we start seeing things where it kind of goes. Guys, we start seeing it starts out here. In the kingdom of Judah, they start going down. They'll come back up. They'll do good, and they'll slide back down a little bit. And it's a gradual slide. Whereas if you look at the kingdom of Israel, it was more consistently a slide down through right there. But again, there's times where it would pick up and down. So just kind of understand that. They had four revivals. You know, right here in the notes, it says the kingdom of Judah experienced four revivals. And here's the kings, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Here's the thing, because discipleship wasn't as prominent as we talk about, it was short-lived, and it died off with that. I'm going through here as well. The kingdom of Judah is taken captive by Babylon. So it happens right down here. It becomes idolatry. You know, that's probably the biggest distraction out there as we face sin is idolatry. You know, your parents talked about taking away your phones as a punishment. If the parents can take away your phone as a punishment, does that mean your phone is becoming an idol in your life? Ask that question. So if your phone or whatever, if your parents can use something against you as a punishment, then that tells us that we got a focus issue. We're putting our focus on something else that is not. And that becomes a sin issue, and idolatry is a sin. So just kind of keep that in mind as we talk about this, because idolatry is easy to follow through. And so Babylon, just so you understand, is in present day Iraq. Inside there, there's many. Nineveh, I talked about Jonah, is in present day Iraq as well. Two major rivers that we talk about in Genesis are also in present day Iraq. So there's something to be aware of what's going on over, and we talk about the Middle East in the world today and how it has application. God's using that area for the whole world. And so just kind of be aware of that. So as we go through it, we see the deportation of the nation of Israel into Babylon, being taken captive. You know, the kings would go up in battle and they would lose. Jehoiakim is taken captive along with Daniel. And then Nebuchadnezzar knows that he can't control and do everything right here. And so he uses his own king to control it right there. And then he installs Zedekiah as king of Judah eventually, 599 BC. And then Zedekiah was taken captive with the rest of the habitants of Judah in 588 BC. But we have some good things to kind of be aware of to know. Judah's led away to Babylon, modern day Iraq. We already kind of talked about that. Judah, the king of Judah is told they'll return. They have a promise there, 70 years. Over there in Second Chronicles. Right here is kind of interesting. Jeremiah, we talked about the chart and how the books parallel the prophet books parallel to what's going on right here. We have an account of what's going on in the second half of Jeremiah during when Nebuchadnezzar was attacking at Jerusalem. Got fulfilled with promise and Jeremiah acted upon it. Jeremiah preached to Zedekiah to submit to the captivity, and God will protect the kingdom of Judah. So we talk about that a little bit. Being a stubborn person, sometimes it's all or none. Sometimes we just need to pull back and kind of see a bigger picture. You know, we can go do things straight on and face it, but if you kind of pull back for a second and realize, hey, if we do this, this, and this, this will set us up. We don't get the benefits today, but we can get the benefits later. That was also the biggest problem with the nation of Israel when they left Egypt. They could not go through, and they were short-lived right here, and they kept on falling into idolatry. That's why they weren't allowed to inherit the promised land. Kind of the same thing here. Hey, we're going to pull back, and in 70 years, you will be able to get your land. But we got to separate right here. And that's what God's doing. It's like, hey, we need a little separation. That's why they surrendered instead of just facing it on, because they would have been slaughtered. They would have been slaughtered. The day of Jerusalem is burned, so it's the timer for the 70 years of captivity. Another time right here says when Judah is taken captive, it starts the times of the Gentile. When the Gentiles rule the earth and God is working through Gentiles. And then a note right here, it says we are still in the time of the Gentiles until Jesus Christ comes back at his second coming. So we live in that age right now. But also we know that Lord, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming back. And he's going to deal with all this. So the age of the Gentiles will end when Jesus Christ comes back. There's also another thing that we talk about in the Bible is the age of dispensation, or the dispensation age that we're in. And we're in the age of grace. We understand that God is coming back. God sends his son. He is setting his son up to take over. And that's when he comes back. That's going to be fulfilled. All right, so candy bar question. Elena, Isabel, you're no longer, you're disqualified. Other people. The temple of Jerusalem is destroyed. What is the name of the third king of Israel that built the temple? Elias. No, you already had, you raised your hand first. You can't raise your hand and not have it. Solomon, alright. Alright. Brendan, quit giving him the answers.
Oh, thank you, Ray.
You're welcome. It's got to go through Dad. All right. All right. The temple contained the Ark of Covenant. All right. Did King Nebuchadnezzar capture the Ark, true or false? Bryson. False. That's why I went with a second answer, because true or false. So Nebuchadnezzar did not capture the Ark of the Covenant, which held what? Speak loudly. And other stuff. And for that, you're going to get an arrowhead. What flavor? Because I chose it. I threw that with my left hand.
Are you okay with it?
So guys, as we go through here, there's a lot going on in the Bible. As we go through this. I would encourage you to read it. You can read all 2 Kings in 1 week. It's not that hard. It's only 25 chapters. You know, we're going to continue on studying the Bible. I would encourage you also to read 1 Chronicles, so when whoever teaches next week, you already know what's going on in 1 Chronicles. Right there, so you can get more candy quicker. It can be done in a week as you go through and look at that. Real quick, I'll pull it up on my phone. First Chronicles is 29 chapters. In 6 days, you can read 5 chapters a day. You can have it done within a week. It's doable. So I challenge you guys, so next week when you come in here, have First Chronicles read. You can read 5 chapters a day. You don't have to read it all in one sitting, but I'll find you that you give 20 minutes to the Lord, and the Lord will bless that time as you read it. So with that being said, guys, we got to make the transition here. We'll go ahead, we'll pray it up, and then we'll be dismissed.